My sermon text for this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at verse 4 and continuing through verse 8. Hear God's word through John's revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Several years ago, when I was a good bit younger than I am now, Betsy and I stayed overnight at a bed and breakfast in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania, over in Lancaster County. And we were there in January, but the weather was unseasonably warm. So when I woke up in the morning, I looked outside and saw the sunshine, and I decided, being into running back then, that I was going to go out for a run. So I put on my sneakers. That was my third pair of shoes, actually. My sneakers and sweats, and went out of town onto this backcountry road outside of Bird in Hand. And soon I found myself surrounded by Amish farms. And I ran past this farmhouse where an Amish woman was hanging out the laundry, and there were three little girls helping her dressed in their colorful handmade dresses. And then as I rounded the turn, I ran past a barn, and there were two young Amish men repairing a farm implement of some kind, and they didn't even notice me run past. They were just talking and laughing. Eventually, I came to the top of a hill, and I stopped. And I looked out over the rolling fields, lying fallow for winter. It was so calm, so peaceful. And then I turned around, and off in the distance, beyond the rich farmland, I saw a world so radically different than the one I was standing in. It was like I was standing in two worlds at the same time. There was this one world of the Amish culture, the people I saw wearing clothes made by hand, no electricity, no television, no automobiles, living together just as their ancestors did, trying to be faithful to the teachings that they had been passed down to them. And the other world was the world of outlet centers and tourist attractions and business parks and housing developments and busy, noisy highways filled with trucks and cars moving at a frantic pace and power lines stretching out over the countryside. As I stood there on that sunny, warm January day, I thought about how difficult it must be for the Amish. I mean, there they are trying to live quiet, peaceable lives, but this other world just keeps closing in on them. No wonder so many of them have left Lancaster County and are moving into more rural communities. And then as I turned around and started running back to Bird in Hand, it dawned on me. It's really no different for me than it is for the Amish. I live in this world, but like them, I'm not really at home in it. For those who follow Jesus, we have citizenship in another world. And this passage from Revelation reminds us that as citizens of God's kingdom, we live by values that are often conflicting with the values of this world. Revelation reminds us, first of all, that as citizens of God's kingdom, our lives are to be marked by grace. Grace. This text from Revelation chapter 1 begins with a greeting that was frequently used by the apostles as they wrote to the early Christian communities, and the first word to those churches is grace to you. Grace, the free gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. Grace, the unanticipated, irresistible, extravagant, lavish blessing of God. Grace. A northerner stopped for breakfast one morning in a country restaurant in a rural part of Alabama. He ordered eggs, sausage, and toast. And when his plate arrived, he noticed a pile of white lumpy stuff. "What's this?" he asked his waitress. "Why, sir," she said, "them is grits." I didn't do that so well, Ian. "But I didn't order them," he protested, "and I'm not going to pay for them." "Oh," the waitress responded, "you don't order grits. They just come. Everybody gets grits." And so it is with the amazing gift of God's love. We don't order it. We can't pay for it. We all just gets it. And John celebrates the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood. And as citizens of His kingdom, we are called to be a people who would extend that same grace toward others. The other day I picked up the latest issue of Time magazine. I don't know if any of you have seen it. But on the cover it read, "On the night of June 17, a gunman opened fire in the basement of a church in Charleston. 9 people died, 5 survived." The title of the cover story was, "What It Takes to Forgive a Killer." And this article tells the remarkable stories of survivors and families who, by the grace of God, were able to forgive that troubled young man who committed that horrendous act at Mother Emmanuel Church. One of those interviewed was Anthony Thompson. His wife, Reverend Myra Thompson, was a teacher and guidance counselor for more than 20 years. A lifelong member of Emmanuel Church, she had recently heard the call to ministry, and in the service that night, just before she fell victim, she received her license to preach. Anthony was, of course, devastated by the loss. But in this article, he said it was important for him to forgive as quickly as possible so that he could continue to live as God intended. Forgiveness, he explained, is like a band-aid that holds the edges of an open wound together long enough for that wound to heal. And though he cannot heal what happened to his wife, nor can he heal whatever is wrong with the man that killed her, he must attend to the wound inside himself. If he is to find healing. Anthony Thompson lives in this world, but his citizenship is in a different world. And by the power of Jesus, he is able to extend such grace. It's not easy, but by grace, he experiences his healing. As a citizen of the kingdom, I wonder, to whom is God calling you to extend grace? And how will you in your life reflect the free gift of God for you in Jesus Christ? Now, as citizens of the kingdom, as we continue on in this passage, we discover that our lives are to be marked not only by grace, but also by peace. The greeting that begins Revelation continues, "Grace to you and peace." Now, there's something I want you to notice about putting those two words together, grace and peace. The word for grace is a Greek word, charis. The word for peace is a Hebrew word, shalom. And the apostles, in writing their letters, always put these two words together, grace and peace. Grace and peace, a Gentile word and a Jewish word. And I was reminded, as I was thinking about this, of Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. For he is our peace. And in his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the wall of hostility between them." Now we live in a world of hostility between people. All over the world, in cities and towns, in homes and workplaces, even in churches, the dividing walls of hostility go up. But as those who claim citizenship in God's kingdom, we are called to do the things that make for peace. Living under the reign of Christ, we are a people of grace and a people of peace. And this passage reminds us finally that we are a people of hope. If ever there were people that needed a message of hope, it was the congregations that first received this revelation to John. During the period of history in which they lived, in the Roman Empire, being a Christian was painful and even dangerous. John himself, you know, had been banished to the remote Isle of Patmos for claiming that Christ and not Caesar is Lord. Followers of Jesus facing tribulation were falling away. And so John reminds this persecuted church from the very beginning of Revelation that this world in which they live, this world in which they are being persecuted, is only temporary. And the kingdom of God, he says, is eternal. "Fix your eyes on Jesus," he writes, "the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Focus your attention on the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, Look, he says, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Like those who first received the revelation to John, we also live in a world badly in need of hope. Horrendous acts of terrorism, millions of refugees fleeing war-torn countries. Sometimes trouble comes home to you and to me in our lives as well. I once heard an African-American preacher say, "If trouble hasn't come knocking on your door yet, it will." These are troubled times. And maybe you're experiencing some trouble in your own life right now. But as those who claim citizenship in this other world, we are not given to despair. We live in this world, but the troubles of this world are only momentary in light of God's eternity. Now we take those troubles seriously. And we live in the midst of this world as people of grace and peace. But ever before us, we also live in hope, anticipating that glorious day when we join John of Patmos and declare, "Look, he's coming in the clouds, and God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven." This past week, a friend emailed a story to me about an American tourist who paid a visit to a renowned Polish rabbi. And the tourist was astonished to see that this rabbi's home was just a simple room filled with books, a table, and a cot. "Rabbi, where is your furniture?" the tourist asked. And the rabbi simply replied, "Well, where is yours?" The puzzled American asked, "Mine? But I'm only a visitor here. I'm only passing through." And the rabbi smiled and replied, "So am I." This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. And as I pass through this world, I'm called to represent the values of His kingdom, to be a person of grace, to do the things that make for peace, and to bring hope to a troubled world. And my prayer for you is that as you live in this world, that you would not be conformed to this world, but that you would also claim your citizenship in that world where Jesus reigns, and where we have the promise of a heavenly home. May it be so. Amen.